Before there was Dorian and before there was Hector, there was 1980, the year that things began to change. Diana Ross was pumping on the radio, Angel was 16 years young, and already she felt she was being turned upside down, inside out. Boy, oh boy, everything was turning around, around. If the 70s were the decade of disco, then the 80s would be what? The beginning of a new era? The decade of the sequin? It was the time that Angel the he became Angel the she. Even if it was only something felt within the deepest layers of her soul, she knew that it was there, underneath the skin and the bone, as thin as a sheet of silver foil. It's not that she felt trapped in her boy body. She felt as libre as a paloma on a humid summer night, flying up and around the project buildings of Da Boogie Down. How good it felt to say she. Because she didn't need to be a woman as much as she needed to have the air of a woman. So when her mother and brother Miguel were out of the house to run the weekly errands, Angel would take off her jeans and shave her legs. She stood there naked in front of Mami's vanity. She tucked her stuff back, up and away with a piece of duct tape, and closed her legs so that they crossed like an X. Her skin was so smooth, her body so lean. But then there was her face. She knew she wasn't nobody's conception of cute, but oh, maybe when she got older, she could cover it up with makeup. She could put on fake lashes, tweeze her brows, and put liner on her lips to make them look more plump. Years later, she'd think back on those nights and wonder what in Christ she was thinking being all tacky-tacky like that. But in the moment, it all felt right, and she, for the first time that day, felt beautiful. She took out the crumpled picture of Betty Davis that she hid inside her science textbook. She loved Betty Davis because she loved her sass. On summer nights, she sneaked down to the midnight showings of Betty's flicks in the Village and Chelsea multiplexes. She loved the drama of it all. She had picked up smoking because Betty Davis made it look so classy. Then eventually she found herself hooked to the damn things. Miguel, who was only 2 years younger than Angel, had a stash of Newports hidden under his bed. So she took one and watched in the silver reflejo of the mirror as the smoke curled out of her lips. She walked to the bathtub and finished smoking while lounging in the water. Once the cig was done, she dipped the end of it into the water, got out, and dried herself down. She always feared that Mami and Miguel would arrive home earlier than expected. "Ay, Dios mío, the pathmark was closed down," Mami would say. "But I forgot my wallet on top of the counter, and what the fuck are you wearing?" What would Angel say then? Caught red-handed, smooth-legged, in her mother's silk kimono that was so long, it looked like she was a tree made of flowing silk. She imagined it would go something like this. Mami would cry and smack her with a broom, scream the Apostles' Creed, and threaten to call the Santera lady to cleanse Angel with chicken blood and soothing tree oils, or some mierda like that. Miguel would watch, too stoned para decir nothing. And as this fantasy nightmare played in Angel's mind, she practiced the lines from Whatever Happened to Baby Jane in the mirror.
"You wouldn't be doing these awful things to me if I weren't still in this body. But you are, Angel,"
mouthing to the mirror, pointing a finger at her reflection as the bathwater got swallowed by the drain.
"You are in that body."
She met Jaime one day when she was gliding around St. Mark's looking for an outfit that would pop. Jaime worked behind the sales counter even though he looked so bored at it, the kind of guy who seemed to have stumbled into fashion because he was beautiful.